for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, July the 5th, 2001. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Melvin Creason of Okmulgee, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. The old king came to Daniel. We're not going to preach on that, just the thought here. And he said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God." And I've preached that many times, but thank the Lord that in the night this man got a revelation, because he worshiped many gods. He counted himself a god, and he worshiped many gods. But through the night, as he prayed for I don't know whether he prayed, he walked the floor, and I assume that he had to pray sometime or another, because early the next morning he came and he had a revelation that Daniel's God wasn't like his, that he was the living God. And we thank the Lord this morning for the privilege of being here and of ministering the word of the Lord. And great is our God, and greatly to be praised. We want to share a word with you, and we have an admonition that we give a lot of times at home, and most every place we go. He's real. He's alive. I was very blessed one day. And I know that, you know, most of the revelation or illumination that we get is partial. And I'd read where Moses asked God, he said, "Who will I tell them sent me?" And he said, "You tell them I am that I am." Well, the first time that caught my eye, I was a young Christian. I asked my pastor, had a lady pastor, which was very gifted, had very talented talents, not too good. She's very knowledgeable in the Word of God. And I asked her, I said, "What does that mean?" And she said, "Well, that's Jesus." And somehow that didn't seem quite right. But that was the best answer that she had for me at the time. But then some years later, as I read that, there was some illumination that came. And he said, "You tell them that I am, that I am." Glory. And he was that God that stood back there in the beginning, Elohim, commanded that there be light, and there was light. He existed. He was not a figment of someone's imagination. He was not some religious entity, but he was God. Praise the Lord. Turn with us this morning to Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6. You can all read it up here on the wall. We know before we start that we cannot finish this morning, but we'll try to give you enough that you know where we're going and what we're talking about. You may know before we start. You know, I thank the Lord that, you know, no one man has a monopoly on this, does he? That God will, He might reveal something to me, and He has in times past and recently too, that I never heard nobody preach. But that don't mean it hadn't been preached before. It doesn't mean that nobody else knows it, but it was the first time I ever saw it. Amen. And so we started to minister this sometime back in at home. Had no idea it was going where it'd go. This is just one of those scriptures. You know what? I feel like every once in a while we need to, although I believe that everyone in our local assembly is filled with the Spirit of God, but yet you need to go back to the basics every once in a while, not let people forget the fundamental foundational truths, and you need to exhort them not only to be filled, but to stay filled. Amen? And so this is one of the favorite scriptures that we go to when we give that admonition. But when I preached it, why, there was the Lord directed me, and I don't know exactly now how it happened, but I got to reading, and the thought was, what was the Lord saying to Zechariah when he said, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, God does all things for a reason. He doesn't do something just to be taking up time. But there's a reason, and many times there is many reasons why God does and says the things that He says. And so I began to study on this, and then understanding and enlightenment come unto me that what God was telling Zechariah here is a great truth, and we want to tell you today that God is doing great things, and what He's doing by the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we never get to this in the message, we want to tell you that the kingdom of God does not depend upon me. Neither does it depend upon you. And God is going to finish His work regardless of you and I. Now, we're privileged to have a part in it. But you can't plan it, and you can't do it, because God's doing it. This is the work of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And God is going to accomplish His work. I heard a man say one time, he said, the greatest construction crew and the greatest construction that ever was is going on in heaven right now. Well, now, he didn't know what he was talking about. He was right, but he didn't know what he was talking about. Because he was talking about a crew up there building mansions, laying streets of gold, and doing things like that. And he didn't have an inkling about what God was doing. And that's the reason I said the other night, one of our greatest enemies is the carnal mind trying to interpret a spiritual word. And we better learn to wait until God illuminates us by the Spirit of God, and then we can know what we're talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where do I go? This gets too big for us sometimes. Let's go to Ezra 1 and 1. Now, I want to tell you this. See, if you really want to search this out and know what God is talking about, there's four books that you need to read. That's Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah. They're all about the same thing. When you read them, then you understand. When you get an understanding of what God was doing then, He's doing now. Amen. In fact, what was happening then was only a type of the reality. And that's why we say so many times God is real. That there is things going on. God is moving by His Spirit, and He's doing a work whether we see it or not. Praise the Lord. Now, in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, praise the Lord. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Praise the Lord. Now, God uses whom He chooses, don't He? Amen. Praise the Lord. And God stirred up this heathen king to build again the house in Jerusalem. If you read in Nehemiah was stirred up by the report of Jerusalem laying in waste, and he wanted to go back and help, amen, and to rebuild the walls. And here Cyrus, the king, God does a work in his heart that he moves begins to plan and to make ready that the temple might be rebuilt, and the walls of Jerusalem and the city, praise the Lord, might be restored. And he, in this first chapter, he gives them liberty. All that wants to, you can go. And those that don't want to, why, you can give of your substance, that they will be able to build. And then not only that, but if my understanding is correct, he gave letters. King Cyrus gave letters that the people could go to his different provinces and get lumber and trees to make lumber out of, stone and whatever was needed. Why, he wrote out the letters where they could go get it, and they could build the temple. My, that makes it sound easy, don't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. But God has a plan, see, and He's going to fulfill His plan. Now, Cyrus made a plan, but his plan wasn't God's plan. But it was good intentions. Did you ever have your good intentions blow up in your face? Sure you have. You meant good, but it just didn't work. Praise the Lord. Cyrus had good intentions. And I know that he felt in his heart that he is doing God a service here when he restored to them the vessels of the temple that they had taken when Babylon overrun Israel and took the people captive and polluted the land, plundered the land, I guess would be a better word to say, and they tore down the walls and burned the gates of Jerusalem and took the substance for themselves. And they even went through the temple, got all the silver and gold, and took it. And now Cyrus, and it gives you a count there, he gets out the silver bowls and the gold bowls and all the different things that was used in the temple for the sacrifices, and he gives it back to them. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe that was the plan of God. Amen. Amen. The vessels needed to be restored. And then, as I said, he gave them letters that they could get trees and whatever that they needed to build with. And so they return to Israel and to Jerusalem, and there they began a building project. And they began to restore the walls, and brother gave a word to someone this morning and said that while they went forth for the Lord, there's going to meet opposition. Isn't that, well, that's the pattern, isn't it? when the Lord saved me, I tell you, God done a work in my life. I wasn't what the world would call a bad person. I had a beautiful family, wife, 2, 3 kids, and was buying our home, working. I didn't drink. I didn't cheat on my wife. We had a wonderful relationship. I was happy. And everything was going good. I was making good money for a working man. And we was prospering. But God did a work in me. And when He saved me, and I went into an old-fashioned altar, and I just cried and prayed and asked God to forgive me, you know. And we spent probably an hour there at the altar. And when I got up, I turned around and sit down on the altar, and I looked out over the congregation, and I was seeing through different eyes. Things had changed. Amen. And for, man, such a glorious place that God, He filled my heart with love. And He brought me into a place that I loved everybody. And I used to think it kind of funny when I'd see the men hugging men in the church. You know, I didn't see that a lot, but I seen it, and I thought how foolish that was. In fact, I thought how foolish all of them was. Amen? But God put a love in me, and I began to love. There was a lady in the church at that time, and she had a kind of an operatic voice. And she played the piano and she sang the old-fashioned hymns and things. And nobody liked to hear her sing. But you know, I didn't care who sang. I didn't care who preached. Just so somebody sang and somebody preached. Amen. God did a work in me. Amen. And I walked in that for several years. And God knows what He's doing. And as I walked in that, and everything was so wonderful, but there came a time, and the phrase I use, that the rug was pulled out from under me. And I had about as many years rough as I had good. And it just seemed like that nothing was like it ought to be. And the oppression that I felt. I'd go to church and leave feeling worse than I did when I went. And so, as surely as you begin to follow God, you're going to meet opposition. As surely as you begin to work, as surely as you make a new dedication. I've seen this so much in my life that people make a dedication to the Lord, and man, it's great then. They shout, they dance, they have a good time. But then they go home. They go back to their church. See, when you get back to your home church, you won't have a camp meeting there. But you're gonna have things to do. See, I have to leave after the service this morning. As it takes me 5 hours to drive home, and tomorrow I've got 8 lots to mow. Plus, I may have a half acre at home to mow. Besides all the other work today. That's just the manual stuff. Amen? When you get back home, why, all this loving and hugging and rejoicing that we've had, it's not going to be that way. It's like going someplace for a Sunday dinner. And we used to, when we was kids, we had a big family. And occasionally, we didn't visit a lot, but occasionally we'd go to one of the uncles or aunts or something, and we'd spend the day there and we'd have a big dinner. Or they'd come and see us and we'd kill the chickens and make chicken and dumplings and bake a cake and do a whole bunch of things, you know. And we'd have a good visit. We'd run and play and we'd have a great time. But Monday morning, Dad said, "Boys, get out of that bed." You know what was waiting? There was cows to milk. There was hoes to be sharpened. There was work to be done. We had to go to the field, go to work. Now when you get home, all this good stuff you've heard here was so you could work when you get home. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You can go home and you can go to work. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. So, Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Joshua, all these great men that was called to build this temple gathered at Jerusalem. And they began to work. And it was a joyous thing when they began to work. They began to rebuild the walls. But it wasn't long till opposition arose. Amen. You ever had Tobiah come against you? My. You know, isn't it strange? Now, we get off track here a little bit. But, you know, the Tobiah that came against them in the beginning, in the end, that Tobiah was living in the temple. And Nehemiah kicked him out with all of his goods. Amen. You're going to have opposition. You're going to face Tobiah and his cohorts. And as they began to build, why, first they came over, said, "We'd like to help you." And they said, "No thanks. We don't need your help. We got to learn some things. Folks, our help doesn't come from the world. Amen? Our help cometh from the Lord." My, you remember the psalmist psalm that reads King James says it something like this. Shall I look unto the hills from which cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. But you don't have to change the words. You just change the punctuation marks and you get a little different sound. The punctuations wasn't there when it was wrote, and neither the division of chapters and verses. Man put that in there to make it easier for us to read, and I thank God for it, you know. But David had been out there fleeing for his life. He'd go around the mountain, one side, Saul go up the other. And King James says, "Shall I look unto the hills from which cometh my help?" But another version of that says, "Shall I look unto the hills? ? Whence cometh my help? ? My help cometh from the Lord." Hallelujah. He wasn't looking to the hills. He wasn't looking to the mountains for his help. He was looking unto the Lord. And whatever we do, we've got to learn that it's God that is doing the work. Yes. Amen. And our help comes from the Lord. Praise the name of our God. Now, I keep thinking of a true story here. And most of you, or quite a few, know Brother Randy Garris at Peachland, North Carolina. In fact, there's two or three people thought I was him when I come in. but I'm not him. But he was... had a little old, what used to be a grocery store and service station, sitting on Main Street of Peachland. And they was having church in it, and it wasn't a bad building. And Brother G.C. McCurry was there holding a meeting for him. And I don't know how long he'd been there, but on Friday night, as he began, and the house was full, and the whole thing wasn't as big as this auditorium or any bigger than this auditorium, the whole building, I don't think. And they had it full, and they had rooms in the back, you know, and everything, so that cut it down. And Brother McCrory prophesied, gave him a word, and said, "You're going to build a new house." And that's just a paraphrase. Some of the elders come to Brother Randy and said, "When do we start?" He said, "Tomorrow." So they next morning, they was out there digging a ditch for a foundation. And Brother Randy and Sister Sybil then, they went to run into the banks. Nobody wouldn't loan them any money. They just kept digging, and they kept building. And every week, money would come in, and they'd use it to build the next week. Amen? And finally, they had a building set up there, and the rafters up, and the banker drove by one of them that had turned him down and wanted to help him. And he said, "No thanks." Amen? And they built the building. Now, here, Ezra, Nehemiah, and a man by the name of Joshua, and Zerubbabel, they begin to build. And they have opposition come. First, they want to help. They said, "No thank you." Thank God they was wise enough to know that this people could not have part in the kingdom of God. So, this didn't set too well with them. And they go back, and they begin to plan. And they begin to bring pressure and opposition upon them. And so, eventually, let's go back to Zechariah. I believe I want to read some there. Praise the name of the Lord. No, I believe that's in Ezra I want to read. Ezra chapter 3, verses 11 and 13. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. They sang together by course, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Say it. His mercy endureth forever. Glory. Toward Israel, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, listen, I got to read a little bit more. But many of the priests and Levites, verse 12, and chiefs of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy. Praise God. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar. Now, we have here a paradox, I guess you'd call it. There's one group that is shouting for joy, and there's another group that is weeping. And one group is they're just blessed to pieces because that the house of the Lord is being restored. And they see the foundation of it, and they begin to praise God and to sing praises unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And then the older people, which had seen the temple of Solomon, looks at that foundation and they begin to weep. It's not good to live in the past, folks. God is a God of right now. You know, I know or have known, I guess would be a better way to say it, of different groups of people, that some great minister rose up, and he brought a great word, and might have been a real service to the people of God. And then he passed on. And those people took tapes, things that he left, books, and they sat down with those. And those things actually become an idol unto them. And I tell you, we've had some great times in the past. You know, one reason it's difficult for people to receive the Word of God, or it was when I began to pastor and God began to reveal the Word unto me, and I began, and my dear pastor, she came to me one day and she said, "I don't know why I'm telling you this, Melvin, but you preach the Word." And I said, "Well, that's all there is to preach." I didn't know what she was saying either. I don't know what I'm saying, but you preach the Word. And I said, "That's all there is to preach." But I didn't get the message either. But my pastor had a tremendous flow of prophecy. And she was one of those. She came in after the very beginning of what was called the latter rain. She came into it. She wasn't in the very start of it, but she came into it, and she was one of those that helped then to usher it in. And there was great healings. And there was a great moving of the Spirit of God. A great flow of the gifts of the Spirit. And the fivefold ministry, the gifts of the fivefold ministry came into fruition. And began to be recognized and to operate in the house of the Lord. And man, we had worship services that, oh Lord, how wonderful that they were. And then, you know, something happened. People began to sell prophecies. And then God began to reveal His Word. And you've heard Brother Jack Harris say this many times, I know, that he used to be called to come and preach. But he said, "Now people calls me to come and teach." Things changed. God began to reveal His Word. Praise the name of the Lord. It didn't mean that that was real, but there had to be an order. It was some of it was what we call wildfire. And God had to work on us, and He began to reveal His Word afresh and anew. And things that we once looked for and longed for and cherished, we began to see wasn't like they're supposed to be. And when God began to reveal these to me and show them to me, Sister Smith didn't do it that way. Now, I didn't have it bad like a lot of people that replaces a pastor that built the Word. Some of them, makes it impossible for anybody else to pastor that church for a long time because they're looking to that ministry. And I always felt inferior to my pastor. Always did. May always feel that way. But she's very gifted in the things of God. But when God set me in as pastor, the first word that was said to me, and you might have heard it, Brother G.C. McCurry called me up, and he took me by the hand, and the ministers gathered around me, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, cross over this Jordan." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, it took a long time for me to rise free to where I could just be me, amen, and to minister the Word of God as God gave it to me. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I don't know how I got there, but we're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, God is moving on, and as we move in God, there's going to be opposition. And as we begin to expound the Word and God, as God gave it to me. Now, I didn't use a lot of wisdom. Because when God gave me something, I was anxious to share it. But see, I really wasn't ready to share it, but I had to share it anyway. And when God opened my eyes to Revelation chapter 21, praise the Lord, and I shared a little bit of this with you the other night about heaven, you know. Man, I just walked out there and I preached it like a house on fire. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I should have been smarter than that, but I wasn't. But I gave them what I saw. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, nobody ever said a word to me that, you know, it's strange. I'm going to tell you something. Don't talk about your pastor. If you got something to say to him, say it to his face. Because it'll get around. It'll come back. He'll know it. Praise the Lord, or she, whatever the case might be. But they were saying, he's taken away our heaven. God. People left. And one lady, she just come. You know, folks, if you're going to get a hold of this, you're going to have to get a hold of it. Amen. You can't come to church once a month or once every 6 months and understand what we're talking about. Because when we declare a truth unto you, and then you don't hear nothing about it anymore for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, the enemy's done come in, and he's done reigned up on your parade, and you won't remember nothing you heard. My. And this lady, she'd come to church just occasionally, and she's one of those that went to a lot of churches. And then there was people that left, and they told, he's preaching there is no heaven. Well, they didn't even know what I was preaching. They had no idea what I was preaching. And one day I went to a funeral, and the pastor that was preaching that funeral, I'd never met him, and he'd never met me. Brother Randy Garris and Sister Sybil was with me and the wife. And this was the mother of a dear friend of ours, and I'd knew her, and the wife had met her, I think. And we went to the funeral, and we were sitting back there in the back, and not all the way back, but part of the way back. And the pastor, as he ministered, he went to the traditional scripture, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And after he'd read it, he said, now, there's not a whole lot wrote in the scriptures about heaven. Well, I think there's a lot wrote there. But I know what he meant. But he said, if I was to say there is no heaven, I would be in error. Well, I didn't think nothing about it. Really. Right then, it didn't bother me. It didn't. I'm kind of naive, you know. It takes a while for things to sink in. And he went on then about heaven a little bit. That time I had broke this thumb, in fact, and they had to operate on it and put it back in place, and my hand was in a cast. And we went on out to the cemetery and done the committal. And I was standing kind of in the background, and I don't know how this happened, because I just went walking, and they had a paved walk there in the cemetery. I just went walking down the walk, kind of thinking, just walking along. And I looked up, and the minister was coming to meet me. And he just walked up to me, and he said, hello, Brother Creason. Well, we ain't never been introduced. But when he said, hello, Brother Creason, there was a light bulb lit up within me. And I done knew somebody'd been talking. Amen. I tell you, don't go talking about your pastor. Amen. Because, God just, I knew. He took me by the hand, Brother Creason. And then he got me by my broke hand, and he prayed for my broke hand. Amen. That's all right.
Praise the Lord. That was fine. After that, I preached a couple of funerals with him, you know. And we're not good friends, you know, but we're not enemies. I mean, by not good friends, we just run in different circles, you know. Amen. But I knew there was revelation here that somebody's been talking. And that little message injected into that funeral was for me. But he didn't tell me to my face,
right,
Brother Creason, I think you're in error. So I didn't have an opportunity to explain to him that I don't preach there is no heaven. Not at all. Heaven is more real than it ever was. I just don't preach it a million miles away.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of our God. I preach it closer than your hands and your feet. Man, I preach it a dominion, a realm, a sphere that the natural man cannot comprehend. And it's here, and it's now, and all God has to do is just pull back the veil of this flesh, praise God, and heaven is right there. Glory. Hallelujah. And I experience a little bit of it every now and then. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't intend to get off in that, but that's, I thought it was pretty good. Glory. Haggai, I believe it is, chapter 4. Let's go over there. And verse 17. Haggai. Chapter 4. That ain't right, is it? Well, I didn't write it down right. Ezra. Maybe it is. Ezra, chapter 4, verse 12 through 15. Okay? Now, We're speaking about the opposition arising. The foundation has been laid, right? And opposition arose, and I want to read some of this to you. Be it known unto the king, these people that opposed them, there's a new king that has rose up, and they're writing to this new king now. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up walls thereof, and joined the foundation. Be it known unto the king that if this city be built, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll. tribute and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. My, oh, you only get next to the king, cut off his wages, amen. Now, because we have maintenance, let's see, I don't want to read all that, I don't think. Let's go down to verse 17. That's where I wanted to read. Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace at such a time. The letter which is sent unto us hath been plainly read, and I have command and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and this work be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? My. Okay. Now the work is stopped. Amen. The supply line has been closed. This is an old war tactic, you know. Still is. You've got to cut off the supply line. Amen. It's not good enough just to kill the troops, because they'll be replaced. But if you cut off the supply line, then you can stop the work. So the supply line was cut off. The king would give no more finance unto the building of the temple, and they were told to stop. And I believe it's in the book of Nehemiah, you'll find for 16 years the work was stopped. Amen? Now let's go to Haggai. I'm going to get in Haggai yet. Praise the Lord. In the first verse, in the second year of Darius, the king, and in the sixth month, and in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the house and this house lie waste? Got it? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now for 16 years there's been no work on the temple. And now the Lord speaks. And he said, you're living in your paneled houses. You're living very comfortably. And yet my house is not built. Man, that's a message, isn't it? Just think a minute now. See, I thank God for the message of prosperity. And I don't want to ever go back to that frame of mind of thinking that you've got to be poor to please God. I don't believe that for a minute. But the message of prosperity got out of balance. Amen. And we see here a people living in good houses, comfortable houses, but the work of the Lord isn't progressing. And I tell you, folks, I thank God. I thank God for the wonderful inventions and things that we have. I thank the Lord that we don't have to go down here on the bank of the lake in the shade of the trees to have church and to try to find a cool place. It might be more effective, though, if we were down there. But I thank God that, we sit here in an air-conditioned building, and when I go out there and get in that car, I never did even turn that air conditioner off. When I turn that key and that engine starts, that air conditioner will come on. And I'll get out here on this freeway and I'll set my cruise control. Amen. And as long as I can, I'll sit there with that thing just humming down the road. My daddy came from Henry County, Missouri, which is actually a little bit south and east of Kansas City, Missouri, just a little bit over there, in 1907 to just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, there, a little town by the name of Coweta. Him and his brother come in a covered wagon. He carried a .38 pistol in the front pocket of his overall. He didn't have one of them leather holsters and shafts, you know, like they show in the Western. And it took them 2 weeks to come from there down to there. I got granddaughters in Kansas City, Missouri. We can leave our house, be there in 5 hours. I like that. Amen. I thank God for these things. But we can get carried away with things. And we can become more interested in our comfort than we are in building the house of the Lord. Amen? Now, and this is what God finds them there. And he said, you live in your sealed houses, and my house lies waste. Now, here the Lord is actually commanding them to build again, or to get back to work and to build the house of the Lord. We really need to read that whole chapter, but we won't. We'll go on from there because we wanted to share that with you. Now, all of this means nothing if we don't understand. And I'm sure you do, at least most of you, but we want to stir up your pure mind. See, God was not interested in that little old house. Now you got quiet. From the tabernacle, the temple of that Solomon built, this temple, they're all just a type and a shadow of the house that God is building. You remember the other night, or morning, yesterday morning, when that we ministered. And one of the reasons that elders wouldn't crucify Jesus was they wanted to build him a temple and set him as king and priest. Ah, but he is king and he is priest. Amen. And he don't need a temple that is made with hands. And when he had Moses to build the tabernacle, when he had Solomon to build the temple, and now when he has Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and these to rebuild the temple, it's all just a symbol of that God is going to do. Back then. I'm speaking from back there. It's just a symbol from back there of what God is going to do. Now, what has hindered the church is we've still been looking for what God is going to do. Going to do. And that's why I said in the beginning that God is doing great things. God is doing great things. See, today, people across the world, good people with good intentions, are meeting and spending thousands and thousands of dollars figuring out how to do this thing in the church. Amen. How to build God's work. How to organize and to orchestrate. And to bring forth that God would have. But I tell you, God said to Zerubbabel, now you get up and you build this house. Okay, now, how am I going to build it? That's not our business. How, isn't it Matthew, in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, that the Lord Himself said unto the disciples. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Right? And they said, well, some says you're that prophet. Some say you're Elijah. And a lot of people think different things, don't they? But then it's personal. He says, but whom do you say? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now catch these next words. And Jesus said, upon this rock, now listen, will I build my church? Okay, go ahead, drink. Let it soak in. This does not mean that we don't do anything. But this simply means that we can only do what the Father says do. Amen? When the chief master builder walked the earth and they come to him, he said, the things that I do,
is what the Father says do. Okay. The words that I speak, they're not mine, but they're the Father's. I do always those things that please the Father. I told you the other day I had an experience, had some experiences that I didn't share with nobody. I've shared portions of them, and I've shared them with some people. And one night, the last real encounter that I had with the Lord, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, and I was asleep, but it wasn't a dream. I was asleep through part of it, and I'm not going to tell it all. I just want to tell part of it because it takes too long, and I never have had anyone that had much understanding of what happened. But I'm beginning to understand a few things as time goes by. Part of this I was asleep, part of it I was awake. And in part there, I was in an old store, like we seen when we were young. You can see a few of them preserved yet. They had an old hand gas pump out front, you know. But this one wasn't out front. It was right to the side of the... It was a little old building, like a frame building. Had a porch out front. A board porch come out. You walk out on it. And right at the corner of the building was the old gas pump. She pump it up full of gas, and it was marked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I believe they held 10 gallon. I'm not sure. It might have been 5. And it was marked, and you put your gas in, and it gravity run it into the tank, and you read off the marks. And there it was. And there was an old truck sitting there by it. Not a big truck, just an old truck sitting there. And the last that I remember there is I was come out on the porch and I seen this. And the scene changed. And I was in the most glorious light that you have ever seen. It was, I know what they mean when they say it was above the brightness of the sun. I was prophesying. And there wasn't anyone there that I knew. In fact, in this particular scene, I don't remember anything about people, but I was prophesying, and that light was so bright, but I knew that that old store building was still there. And as I walked, and I ceased from prophecy, a man, which I just knew it was a man. I seen no face. I don't remember seeing any face. He walked up and grabbed me by the arm and said, "What about me?" And you know what the answer was? I could do nothing except the Father tell me. I can do nothing except the Father tells me. Hallelujah. Folks, God is changing the order. God is changing it. Amen. And we're going to have to learn here. I'm learning what God meant when He said, "Not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Amen. I'm learning little by little. Now, as we go here, God said, "Build me a house." But there's no way to build it. There was nothing in there. The king had cut off the supply. And Zerubbabel is worried about how he's going to do it. And the angel of the Lord appears unto him and says, "Not by power,
nor by might. See, he thought that he had to have help from the king. He thought if he didn't have the financial help and he didn't have the trees and the stones and whatever it was that they needed to build, that he couldn't build it. But God said, now it's time for you to quit looking at man. It's time for you to understand that it's not by power. It's not by the power and the strength and the abilities of man. Neither is it by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise the name of our God. Now, when you understand, and you have to, that the house that Zerubbabel was building only foreshadowed the house that the Lord Jesus Christ would build, then we understand and we know that only by the Spirit of God will this house be constructed. Amen. Man, oh, there's so many scriptures now we could read about the house. One scripture. In Haggai, I believe it is. Let me see. Haggai 2, 1 and 9. I got to read this. Praise the Lord. And I know that all of you know it. Well, I can't find it. Lost my marker. There it is. Right there. Haggai 2, praise the Lord, 1 through 9. And in the seventh month, in the 120th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the rest of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Uh-oh. See, some had been crying because they'd seen the glory of the former house. And some rejoiced at the laying of the foundation because the foundation of the house of God was laid anew. Amen? And how do you see it now? Okay? You know, what a good friend of mine, I told you not to talk about the pastor. Well, I wasn't his pastor, but he was a good pastor friend one time. He said, Brother Melvin ain't got nothing over there but a bunch of old people. Well, true. But I'll tell you something. Them old people know how to cry. Amen. And they love God. And I thank God for them. Praise the name of the Lord. How do you see? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you. Glory. The Lord is doing great things. Now, if you're looking in the natural, folks, you're not going to see it. You know what I see when I look across our great country? And I thank God, you know, for this time of celebrating the independence of our country. I think it's the greatest that there is. I wouldn't want to live any place else. Amen? I love my country. I never went to war. I trained for war. I would have went, but things changed. Amen? I didn't want to go fight. I didn't want to kill. I didn't want to be killed. Amen. But I would have went if things hadn't changed. My. What was I starting to say? Praise the Lord. Let's get back up here. Be strong. That's what I was saying. be strong, all you people. Get to work. Glory. Saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word of the covenant, which with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while. My, let's skip down to the ninth verse. Well, oh, the eighth verse. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay. Praise the Lord. that's hard to comprehend, isn't it? How many of you got bills? Some of you don't have no bills. I got bills. And about twice a year they really get rough. Twice a year our insurance comes due. Amen. In January, and well, I won't tell you the other month. They all come due. Well, I think God is teaching us to learn to trust in Him. Amen. Let's go ahead with this. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. Man, I tell you, there's too many things trying to preach today. God expects us to be good stewards. Amen. Don't be foolish with your finance. Be a good steward. Then God can bless you. That's enough of that. Praise the Lord. The gold is mine and the silver is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory, now, I want to show you, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I believe this is a key verse to us understanding here. As he said, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Now, what was he talking about? They thought he was talking about Solomon's temple and that little temple that was being reconstructed. But the glory of that little temple was nothing in comparison to the glory of Solomon's temple. It was so magnificent that the Queen of Sheba was in awe when she seen all of it. Amen? But really what he was talking about was the glory of the latter house, which the Lord Himself shall build, and not man. Glory. Whose house you are. Glory. And God is building a house. He's building a temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful now that, see, God dwelt in, God never did dwell in that temple that Zerubbabel built. But He dwelt in the tabernacle and in Solomon's temple. His presence was on the mercy seat beneath the outstretched wings of the cherubim. But He never inhabited that house. But praise the Lord. Peter tells us, and we'll try to bring this to a close right here. Peter tells us about a house being built out of lively stone. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, as we've quoted a couple of times, on this rock I'm going to build my church. Praise the name of the Lord. And God is building a temple made out of lively stone, that He may dwell therein, not only in the temple, but in each temple individually. He will inhabit each stone, each temple individually, and the whole collective thing He will indwell. Praise the name of the Lord. I lost my Bible. Glory. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord bless you. I hope we haven't left you hanging and been boresome to you this morning. This is a great truth that we need to... We've heard it, see. I'm not preaching nothing to you that you haven't heard. But have we comprehended? Do we have the realization? See? I came to a fresh realization of this. And see, there's been a lot said in this meeting, what time I've been here, about dedication and consecration. And we have begun a new in the church. We didn't change anything. We just got more people involved in seeking the Lord. I told you about the little lady that died about 3 weeks ago. And she was a real strength man to the church. She was used mightily of God. She was 84 years old. But any time you've done anything, she won't have part in it. She had had a real physical battle. And my, you know, if she couldn't think of anything else to do, she'd get up on Sunday morning before she got ready for church and she'd bake a pie. And she'd give it to somebody. Maybe she'd make two. And the last exhortation that she gave in the church was probably 6 weeks ago. And we're needing a roof on the church. And she got up and she exhorted the people to give to repair the house of the Lord. And it was very effective. Praise the Lord. Probably more effective than if I had done it. And the Lord took her home. And she, when she retired, she worked. She worked for the city. And when she retired, she began a prayer meeting on Tuesday morning. And for some time, there was two or three of us men attended. And then I went back to work, and it just become the ladies' prayer group. And they'd meet Tuesday morning. Sometimes they'd be three. Sometimes they'd be five. And sometimes just two. But I felt that this was a great part of our church, was those women there seeking God in behalf of us. And when the Lord took her home, why, I decided it was time for me and the wife to get in on that prayer group. And when we went, two more went. Three more women. And we've had eight or ten every Tuesday morning. And the reason I didn't get here till late Tuesday is I went to prayer meeting first. I went home and packed my clothes and I headed for here. Now, I'd have been here on time, but I missed the turn up here. went about 10, 12 miles out here in the country. Oh, bless the Lord. And God has changed and is changing things. And I want us to seek the face of God. I'm talking about our local assembly. And I want you in your assemblies to do the same thing. And again, I warn you, and I believe that this is the Lord. Don't try to figure out what God's going to do. Amen. Now, we've all got some ideas. See? And I know some things that God is going to bring to pass. Amen. But I don't know God's divine order that He has withheld within Himself. Now, He may make some to know before it happens, you know. But let's not try to figure out what God is going to do tomorrow or tonight or the next day or when this great move begins. But I think that it is already beginning, and the house is already being built. And God is gathering together a people for His name's sake. And He don't need my help, and He don't need your help. He needs us to get out of the way and take instructions from Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, it just irritates the life out of me. See somebody trying to do something, and they don't know how to do it. And I get scolded more for just getting in there and doing it. And people tell me, Pilgrim, don't do that. But you know, do we do God the same way? We try to take over and do. Oh, we've got it all planned out. And this ought to be this way, and that ought to be that way. I think we ought to do this, and I think... And that's so difficult. And any time that you say, let's wait on the Lord, let's see what God will do, everybody in church will have ideas. Amen? Praise the Lord. Church that I knew of, they was thinking about how to raise some money, and the pastor's wife had on what they thought was a pretty good sized diamond. And one of the ladies in the church stood up and said, well, I think she ought to sell her diamond and give it. And the lady stood up and said, I would, but it's not a diamond. Praise the Lord. Father, it was one of those $35 diamonds, you know. It looked like about a $1,500 diamond, you know, or even better than that, maybe $2,500. It was good size and beautiful. Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't hardly that big. but really, if you didn't know, it looked real. But I tell you, you see what the deal was? She thought she had a word from the Lord. And she missed God a million miles. And we can all have ideas. But you know, in Isaiah it said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the song says, teach me, Lord, to wait. And that word wait there means to be woven or twisted together as a rope with the Lord. Amen? A threefold cord is not easily broken. God knows how to build this house. And if we want the mind of God, let's learn to wait till He speaks. And He says, my sheep shall know my voice. I want to bless you. I thank you. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your ear that you have given unto us. And I bless you in the name of the Lord. God bless all of us and open our eyes and our understanding to spiritual truth. God, we beseech Thee that Thou would honor us with light that we can see and know what Thou art doing in the earth. Oh, God, we thank you this morning, and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness unto us. We thank you, God, to just meet every need today. I pray, Lord, for the physical needs that are in this body. I pray for health and for strength. God, I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke the devourer from the land. I come against the enemy of our soul. And I speak a spiritual health and a physical health unto your people this day. Health, strength, prosperity, both naturally and spiritually, be unto you. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.